श्री श्री नाम संकीर्तन की जय। दाय गौड़ प्रेमनंदे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो नंबर 6 चैप्टर नंबर 5 टेक्स्ट 1 to 8। सो वील ट्राई टू रिसाइट टेक्स्ट 1। श्री शुक उवाच तस्यं स पञ्चजन्यं वै विष्णुमयापबृंहृता हर्यश्वसंजनाद्ययुक्तान् पुत्रान् अजानयाद् विभुः। श्रीसुख उवाच तस्यं च पाञ्चजन्यं वै विष्णुमयापबृंहृता हरस्वसंजनायुतं पुत्रान् अजानयाद् विभो। श्रीशुक उवाच तस्यं स पाञ्चजन्यं वै विष्णुमयोपबृंहृतम् हरस्य संजनाद्ययुतं पुत्रान् अजानयाद् विभुः। पंचजन्यम वै मतजीस श्री सुख उवाच। श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड तस्यम इन हर नेम स प्रजापति दक्ष पंचजन्यम हिज वाइफ नेम पंचजनी वही इंडीड विष्णु मया उपबृहतम being made capable by the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu. ह्रस्व समजनम नेम्ड द हरस हरस वस अयुतम 10,000 पुत्रान सन्स अजानयात बिगोट विभो बीइंग पावरफुल Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, Impelled by the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, Prajapati Daksha begot 10,000 sons in the womb of Panchajani, Asikni. My dear king, these sons were called the Harasvas. Text number 2, we'll read the translation. My dear king, all the sons of Prajapati Dakshas were alike in being very gentle and obedient to the orders of their father. When their father ordered them to beget children, they all went in the western direction. Text 3, translation. In the west, where the river Sindhu meets the sea, there is a great place of pilgrimage known as Narayan Saras. Many sages and other advanced in spiritual consciousness live there. Text 4 and 5. In the holy place, the Harasvas began regularly touching the lake's water and bathing in them. Gradually becoming very much purified, they became inclined towards the activities of the Paramhamsas. Nevertheless, because their father had ordered them to increase the population, they performed severe austerities to fulfill his desires. One day, when the great sage Narada saw those boys performing such fine austerities to increase the population, Narada approached them. Text 6 to 8. Translation. The great sage Narada said, My dear Harasvas, you have not seen the extremities of the earth. There is a kingdom where only one man lives and where there is a hole from which, having entered, one never emerges. A woman there who is extremely unchaste adores herself with various attractive dresses, and the man who lives there is her husband. In that kingdom, there is a man who lives there, is her husband. In that kingdom, there is a river flowing in both directions, a wonderful home made of 25 materials, a swan that vibrates various sounds, an automatically revolving object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. You have not seen all this, and therefore you are experienced boys with advanced knowledge. How then, you have inexperienced boys with advanced knowledge, how then will you create progeny? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narad Muni saw that the boys known as the Harasvas were already purified because of living in that holy place and were practically ready for liberation. Why then should they be encouraged to become entangled in family life, which is so dark that once having entered it, one cannot leave it? Therefore, this analogy, Narad Muni asked them to consider why they should follow their father's order, to be entangled in family life. Indirectly asked them to find within the core of their hearts the situation of the super soul, Lord Vishnu. For then they would truly be experienced. In other words, one who is too involved in the material environment and does not look within the core of his heart is increasingly entangled in the illusory energy. Narad Muni's purpose was to get sons of Prajapati Daksha to divert their attention towards spiritual realization instead of involving themselves in the ordinary but the complicated affairs of propagation. The same advice was given by Prahlad Maharaj to his father, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.5. Tat sadhumanye suravarya dehinam sada samudmagna dhyam asadgrahat. Hitva papapam grihamanda kupam vanam gato yad dharimashrayityat. In the dark well of family life, one is always full of anxiety because of having accepted a temporary body. If one wants to free himself from this anxiety, one should immediately leave family life and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. Narad Muni advised the Haryaswas not to enter household life since they were already advanced in spiritual knowledge. Why should they be entangled in that way? Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakdamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathamnitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Tamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brinda Vanishwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Vahevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I welcome all of you for this morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. We are here at a very wonderful and a very auspicious and holy place, a replica of Vrindavan, and in that replica of Vrindavan we are here at the Radha Damodar temple. And in that Radha Damodar temple we have the beautiful room of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada personally stayed here and he translated the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto here. So very, very special place. And also here just behind is the Samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami. As all of us are the followers of Rupa Goswami, we are also called as the Rupanugas. So this Rupa Goswami Samadhi is here. And this place is considered as a great meeting place of all the six Goswamis. It's kind of the GBC meeting of that era, where all these great divine personalities, the Goswamis, used to come and discuss, of course, Krishna Katha, but also they used to discuss about how to take the Krishna consciousness movement ahead, how to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. So I welcome all of you for this morning class. So Srimad Bhagavatam is considered as the ripened fruit of the Vedic literature. Nigama Kalpatru Phala Galitam Shukhamukhad Amritam. It is actually a ripened fruit, but it has become more nectarian because it is touched by the great sage Sukadeva Goswami. So that is the speciality of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And another important aspect of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that it doesn't only speak about dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Many of the Puranas, they only talk about dharma, artha, kama and moksha. They say that just have a nice life, earn some money, do some dharma and one day you'll get moksha. That is the understanding. But the Srimad Bhagavatam talks beyond this. That's why it is considered as Amalam Puranam or spotless Puran, where there is no pampering. You know, okay, you do this, दिस इज इट इज नाइस ओके ओके चलता है. नो राइट एट द आउटसेट एट द श्रीमद भागवतम इट इज किंग ऑफ ऑल द चीटिंग रिलीजन. इन द थर्ड वर्स इट इज सेइंग यू नो पीपल हु आर निर्मत्सराम ओनली दे कैन अंडरस्टैंड द श्रीमद भागवतम राइट. सो इन दिस वे श्रीमद भागवतम इज अ स्पॉटलेस पुराणम एंड दैट्स व्हाई मेनी टाइम्स व्हेन पीपल हु आर हियरिंग द श्रीमद भागवतम फॉर द फर्स्ट टाइम दे फील व्हाई इट इज सो हैवी व्हाई इट इज ओनली टॉकिंग अबाउट प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस व्हाइल व्हाई इट इज ओनली टॉकिंग अबाउट यू नो फैमिली लाइफ इज डेंजरस व्हाई इट इज ओनली टॉकिंग अबाउट मटेरियल वर्ल्ड इज यू नो इल्यूजरी सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन इज डेंजरस बिकॉज it is talking about the fifth purushartha that is love for krishna that is prema pumortu mahan that's why many times when we talk about the shrimad bhagavatam people who are hearing for the first time they may consider it is too heavy but actually it is talking about the actual essence of the shrimad bhagavatam so let's have a background of what's happening now in this episode of the shrimad bhagavatam So the sixth canto begins with the story of Ajamil and then Ajamil's story is ended how Vishnudutas come and then they narrate the story of Yamadutas and Vishnudutas and then how describes about the glory of the holy name and how holy name is so merciful and then the fourth chapter begins with the Hamsa Guhya prayers just like there are very many Vedic hymns just like Purusha Shukta is a prayer similarly Hamsa Guhya is also prayer which has been offered by Daksha the progenitor of the universe he is offering this prayer to Lord Vishnu it is described that he offended Lord Shiva and he felt very much you know upset with himself so he wanted to atone and that's why it is said that he offered prayers to Lord Vishnu here And it has been described in the last chapter, that is chapter 4, which is entitled as the Hamsa Guhya prayers. And after hearing the beautiful prayers, Lord Vishnu is very merciful. Lord Vishnu tells him that, my dear son, I am very pleased with your wonderful service. Then he offers him the daughter of Prajapati Panchajana. Her name was Asikni. And there he instruct him that now you both procreate and you produce children and that will help to increase the progeny of the entire universe. And herein in this chapter 5th which is entitled as Narad Muni cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Now Prajapati Daksha has been blessed by the Lord that you might get married to this lady her name is Asakni who is the daughter of Prajapati Panchajanna and you will produce many children and by the blessings of Lord Vishnu she is able to produce 10,000 sons now just imagine in this world today to have a child nowadays is so difficult many times so many people have difficulty and to produce a son I know one person He had seven daughters and then they were trying to have a son and even the eighth child was a daughter. So he was so much in, you know, having a desire to have a male child. But herein, by the blessing of Lord Vishnu, they had 10,000 children. Now to have one child is difficult and to have 10,000 and this 10,000 batch like a factory unit 10,000 children they were called as the Haryaswas they were great devotees of the Lord so we see in this world people who don't want child they get child and people who desire to get a child but they didn't get child that's why it is said that everything happens by the will of the Lord that's why for everything in the Vedic culture there was a samskara to pray to have the auspiciousness to have blessings of the devotees of the Lord that's why there is garbhadan samskara then there is you know a special name giving ceremony when the child is born, for every act of life there is, you know, blessings of the Lord. That's why marriage is a samskara, and then everything is has been very much devotional background. So herein, by the blessings of Lord Vishnu, you know, this children were born, and 10,000 children, they were called as the Haryaswas. So in principle we see that whatever in this world we see, it is only by the blessings and the mercy of the Lord. One cannot just say it's because of me, it is my endeavor, my power. No, it is actually the blessings of the Lord. And herein we see Daksha is actually a great devotee of the Lord, and he has been specially empowered by the Lord to do this service. So that is also a very important aspect to understand. In the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, Daksha offends Lord Shiva. So we may feel that how can a person offend Lord Shiva? But that's a different pastime to understand. That's a different pastime so that we can learn that we should not offend a Vaishnava. But herein we see that Lord has so much faith and love on you know, Daksha, and he is giving this special empowerment to do this service. So that's why we should respect and you know, understand that how much Daksha is loved. Also, this section and this purport talks about, you know, the sincere devotion of the Haryaswas and the genuine compassion of Narad Muni. So let us talk about the sincere devotion of Haryaswas. So we all know that this 10,000 children born, so they were sent to a holy place. It is described here that the holy place is called as Narayan Saras. So even Daksha knew that if you want progeny, if you want to have good children, you should also do some good activities. Now, nowadays, you know, people think this, the life is just to enjoy. Just have money, just get a good wife, just enjoy, and then you'll have a child. No. Herein, even Daksha, he's training the children that go, have a nice spiritual experience, do austerities, go to a holy place of pilgrimage. Because when you go to a holy place of pilgrimage, it has a subtle aspect on your mind, on your consciousness, and that will help you to have a good future. So they all go to this holy place, and it is called as Narayan Saras. And in Narayan Saras it is described that many sages and other advanced people, they, you know, come there for spiritual consciousness and live there. And then in this place, what did they do? They bathed there, and slowly, slowly they became purified, and they got inclined towards the activities of Paramahamsas. That's why it is said that when you come to a spiritual atmosphere, slowly, slowly that atmosphere has a very nice experience on you. Right? That's why, just see, when people go to a pub, people go to a very rajasic atmosphere, that rajasic atmosphere has impact on their consciousness. But when they come to a temple, when they come to a beautiful, you know, holy place of pilgrimage like Vrindavan, just see, you know, sitting on the bank of Jamuna here, going, doing a parikrama here at Govardhan, it has had that spiritual potency. So after doing all this, you know what happened? Their desire for performing austerities, their desire for doing, you know, sincere devotion increased. And right at that time, what happened? Narad Muni comes. Now Narad Muni, such a great sage, a Paramhamsa, a pure devotee of the Lord, who is completely absorbed in Krishna and he is hardly entangled in this material world. So when he saw this whole batch of, you know, sincere devotees, he had a desire. Kya kar rahe log? Why they want to entangle their life? They are so nice, they are so, you know, intelligent, so educated, so devotional, so wonderful, so humble. So seeing all these qualities, You know, they were thinking, he was thinking, it's already a fertile land, you know, why he has to be, you know, again get married and do all this. So that was his compassion. So somebody might say, you know, Narad Muni, why he is doing this? Because a great saint, you know, he's constantly thinking, because at the end of the life, what is he supposed to do? Because one of our senior devotee in Chopati, he always says that grihastha ashram is a very important aspect, but a maturity or the sincerity of a person is, he feels grihastha ashram is actually a detour, because at the end, after some years, he has to again come and live a life of self-realization. Right? So that's why a great devotee, he feels that if he has to do this again after a few years, why not completely focus now? But of course, one should not take this decision immaturely. It is a very, very important decision. And it is a life of responsibility. And it is not meant for everybody. That's why we see Narad Muni, it's not that every person he meets is just giving the same instruction. No. When he met Dhruva Maharaj, he said, hey young boy, what are you going? Go back to your house. This forest is not for you. It's not that Narad Muni just told him, oh very good, you come. Yeah, become a brahmachari, become a sannyasi. No. He gave instruction particularly for everybody according to time, place, circumstances. Right? We know the story of Mrigari. Mrigari was a hunter. He used to half kill people. But then he did not instruct him that you give up everything, come with me, I will help you. He said, just be here, but don't do this. Krishna will protect you. Krishna will give you what you want. So, in this way, he started preaching to this sons of Daksha. And then slowly, slowly, he started giving them example in an allegorical way. Let me read the translation again of the 8th verse. The great sage Narada said, my dear Harasvas, Hariasvas, you have not seen the extremities of earth. He is saying, you don't know the problems happening in the grihastha life. You know, you don't know what will be the future, what difficulty will come. You know, you don't know how hardships will come in future. So why you want to get involved in that? Right? Nowadays we hear there is a lot of traffic on Govardhan Eco Village to Mumbai Road. Right? So if somebody is going from here, unless he has some important work, you know, somebody will say, why are you going there? You know how much traffic? It took me 7 hours to come from Mumbai to here. So now a person who doesn't have an important task to do, he will say, oh really, 7 hours? Cancel, I will not go. Right? Similarly here, Narad Muni is giving an allegorical story or an example, analogy, that how the life which you are telling is difficult. But we should try and understand that that is a compassion of great devotees. Similarly, we have seen the compassion of exalted devotees. So herein we discussed 2 points. One was the points of how everything in this world happens by the grace of the Lord. Right? And then we discussed how the devotion of Hariaswas, because it's a fertile land. Many times when we preach Krishna consciousness, we come across people, they are very advanced from the day one. Right? They are very much fertile. Right? And we tell them that, you know, they are very special people. Like when Srila Prabhupada met Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj. The first time when Prabhupada met Gaur Govind Maharaj, Prabhupada started speaking to him in Bengali. And the Prabhupada's servant was, you know, amazed at who are these two people. And they were speaking for a long time. And at the first meeting only, it is said that Srila Prabhupada could understand the devotion of Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj. And very soon, Prabhupada initiated him first, second. I think sannyas also on the same day, sannyas later. Like first initiation, second initiation was given on the first day, and very soon he was given the, you know, sannyas. And the glory of Gaur Govind Maharaj is so much that, you know, it requires hours and hours. So we see that how pure devotees, seeing somebody, they feel that he is not ordinary personality. Similarly, we see that Srila Prabhupada was doing the Cross Maidan festival. And in that Cross Maidan festival, we see, I think here we have Cross Maidan festival. Cross Maidan festival we don't have, right? So Cross Maidan festival in 1971, when Prabhupada is addressing 15 to 20,000 people. And in that crowd, Srila Prabhupada saw a boy with long hair, and Prabhupada called him. And then later on, Srila Prabhupada, you know, gave time to him, and 7 days he sat. And then later on, he became His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. So we see that senior devotees or exalted devotees, when they see a person who is genuinely spiritual, slowly, slowly, they feel that his heart is fertile, and anything you tell him, very soon he'll accept it. And in our preaching endeavor, we see that how so many people, they come to Krishna consciousness. Some say, some take years to chant 16 rounds, and some start 16 rounds in few days or few weeks. So that is very amazing. Another aspect which I want to speak is the compassion of Srila Prabhupada. Many times, you know, senior devotees have compared Narad Muni as Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was also like Narad Muni, traveling the entire world, who was always focused on giving Krishna consciousness. So it was Srila Prabhupada's compassion. The first thing which we see about Srila Prabhupada was, he left Sri Vrindavan Dham. Now, who would leave Vrindavan? Prabhupada had his own room, he had his kitchen, he had Radha Damodar temple. Even today, Radha Damodar is like the center of Vrindavan. Thousands and thousands of people come. And Prabhupada that time was staying here. And he had everything. He had a nice place to stay. He was translating, he was happy. But within his heart, he was not satisfied, because he wanted to fulfill the desire of his guru. And just because of that genuine compassion to spread the holy names and the message of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada went to America. And when Prabhupada went to America, he didn't have anything. He hardly had any contacts. Now when we go to the Western world, we know where I am going to stay, where I will be. You know, what to speak of Western world if I am going to Vrindavan. 4 months before, I book a train, Rajdhani Express, nice AC accommodation or flight tickets. And then which hotel I will stay, where I will go. AC train, AC bus, AC car to go to different places. Right? If it is winter, room heater. So all the arrangements are done, right? But Prabhupada going to America, he doesn't know where he goes. He writes in the Boston Harbor in that shloka, in that poem, when he's about to go and when he's about to reach the Boston Harbor, he's saying, I don't know whether to go left or right. Can you imagine? Going to a country where the culture is different, the people are different, the food habits are different, the climate is different, and he doesn't know where he'll go. And with that situation, beginning from a scratch to making a society like International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So that was Srila Prabhupada. And how much struggle. Radhanath Maharaj, in one lecture he was speaking, you cannot do Western preaching unless you understand, unless you have genuine compassion in your heart. Because when somebody is from India, when you know everything, Krishna consciousness, when you know bhakti, Radha Krishna bhakti, Gaur Leela, everything you know that I know everything. But when you meet Westerners, they don't know anything. So many times we feel proud that, you know, just see, they don't know anything. But to preach to them, you should have that genuine compassion. And Srila Prabhupada had that. And because of that genuine compassion, Prabhupada stayed in Bauri, the drug capital of the world, and meeting all these drug addicts, you know, living with them, dealing with their tantrums, dealing with their problems, dealing with their difficulties, right? When Srila Prabhupada was there, he hardly had place to stay, he used to stay with them. Then Prabhupada thought that let me feed them Krishna Prasad, because philosophy, they were not in that state, you know. They were not even awake, what to speak of understanding of philosophy. So in that situation, Prabhupada thought, let's start feeding prasadam. So he started cooking, right? He started cooking, and then people started coming. So every day few people started coming, and there was one boy, Steve. He used to eat 30 chapatis. Just imagine, you know. Now we are involved in the kitchen service. We know how it is difficult to do cooking. Of course, we have a team who is doing sabji cutting, who is doing pre-processing. And still when we do cooking, we feel it's difficult. But here Prabhupada, arranging the items, purchasing, don't have so much money, you know, arranging somehow the raw materials, washing it, cutting it, cooking it, you know, and then after preparing, offering it to Krishna, then these people come to eat. And 30 chapatis, even from the kitchen perspective, chapati is a very big difficulty, you know, somebody has to roll it. And 30 chapatis, one person eating, it's a big task. And then slowly, slowly, all these people, they started eating, feeling nice, this Swamiji is doing something. And one fine day, one person came to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, you're doing so much, you old man, you're doing so much. Do you need any help? Prabhupada said, since weeks I am thinking somebody will come and tell me, do you need any help? Then he said, if you have time, you can help me do this wind up. So just imagine Srila Prabhupada, so much compassion. Who would do, right? And preaching to all these drug addicts and, you know, in this situation. Prabhupada was giving a lecture, you know, to all these drug addicts. And suddenly a person gets up in between of the lecture and is telling Prabhupada, you're talking about Krishna. Have you seen Krishna? Do you see Krishna? Prabhupada said, yes. But because you're coming in between, sit down. Sit down. I'm seeing Krishna, but now you're coming in between. Sit down. So that was Srila Prabhupada, that he knew how to tackle different people. So that was Prabhupada's compassion. So when Prabhupada was preaching, he went to upstate New York, and there was a farm community where people were doing some farming, and many of them were completely naked. They were completely naked, and one of Prabhupada's disciples, he took them to this place, and Prabhupada was surprised to see these people, and he went to this young person and he said that, are you human being or animal? What is this? At least be a civilized person. And Prabhupada said that human form of life is for self-realization. Don't waste your life like this. And that word actually entered his heart and he became a devotee. And later on, he became Srila Prabhupada's disciple. And his name was Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. The other Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, not the writer. So in this way, we see how Srila Prabhupada is so compassionate. One time Srila Prabhupada was in a temple. And during that time, because they had just started the Guru Puja. So because Prabhupada used to travel the entire globe and hardly used to be in any ISKCON temple. So they had started worshipping Prabhupada that time. So they started the Guru Aarti or Guru Puja. And once there was a temple and hundreds of devotees, they were chanting, you know, Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. And everybody was doing Aarti. And the devotee was sitting ahead or standing ahead in this Guru Aarti or Guru Puja. He had a wound in his foot. He had a small wound in his foot and he was bleeding. And Prabhupada was actually sitting there and devotees were doing Aarti and they were praising Srila Prabhupada. And as soon as the aarti was finished, Prabhupada called that devotee and he said, "Hey, you have hurt your toe." And Srila Prabhupada, because he had a pharmacy business before, he immediately took a paper and he gave him an ointment. And he gave him. So that devotee had tears in his eyes. He said, "Herein thousands of people are glorifying and dancing and chanting. If somebody else would have not be, you know, so much interested in all a small thing like this." But Srila Prabhupada had a genuine compassion. And because of that, Srila Prabhupada, you know, could do this. So that is what has been explained in this verse. So we have this few minutes. So I just want to speak something about the Chandan Yatra and especially about Srila Madhavendra Puri, since this is an auspicious month of Chandan Yatra. So I would like to speak something on this beautiful pastime. So now, who is Srila Madhavendra Puri? Madhavendra Puri is such an exalted personality. The first aspect of Srila Madhavendra Puri is, he is the Param Guru of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his Guru is Ishwara Puri and his Guru is Madhavendra Puri. Second aspect, why Madhavendra Puri is so special? It is said that the love and the emotion he had, which only Srimati Radharani Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, only these three people could understand. That was the level of, you know, Madhavendra Puri. And the third and the most important aspect is, Madhavendra Puri is so great that Lord Krishna or Lord Gopinath stole kheer for him. Right? That itself is a pastime. Right? One time Jananivas Prabhu was in a place somewhere somewhere in Mumbai. And you know, Jananivas Prabhu, head pujari of Radha Madhav. So devotees were very, because people like to hear pastimes, you know. They said to Jananivas Prabhu, "Prabhuji, you did so much, so many years of service to Radha Madhav. Please share some pastime." And those who have served Jananivas Prabhu, they know he is so humble, he is so simple. He said, no. "Please, some pastime. The Lord must have told you something." He said, no. So he was embarrassed. So again, Prabhuji, one pastime of Radha Madhav and you. He said, "There are many pastimes, but they have told not to tell anybody." So actually, that itself was a pastime, but you know, he said like that. So then that is this thing. But then just see, if we have pujaris here, our Avadhara Chaitanya Prabhu just offered Mangal Bhog. Just imagine Vrindavan Bihari or Madan Mohan or Giriraj Ji, you know, stealing some Mahaprasad for some pujari and then telling, "Call that devotee, I have kept special sweet rice or special sandesh or special rasmalai for him." What a celebration, what a great act of you know, reciprocation from the Lord. So that happened to Madhavendra Puri. So we all know how Lord appeared, of the deity of Gopal appeared to Madhavendra Puri right here on the parikrama of Govardhan Anyor Gram. And at that place, the deity appeared and the Lord said that, "Please bathe me, I am feeling hot." And there was a beautiful festival. Abhishek happened and the deities were installed on top of Giriraj. And for months and months the festival, you know, happened. And then later on the Lord said that, "I am feeling more hot. Please apply Chandan. Please get Chandan." Now it was not like getting Chandan from, you know, next door, or getting Chandan from Lois Bazar in Vrindavan, or getting Chandan from Radha Kund. Lord is saying, get Chandan from where? Malaya Hills, kind of, you know, place, Odisha, near Jagannath Puri. And that time where there were hardly any transportation system, the only way was to walk or go in bullock cart or something like that. So in that situation, just for the pleasure of the Lord, Madhavendra Puri, he starts his journey. And he goes and he finally, after days and days and weeks, he reaches this beautiful temple in Remuna. the temple of Gopinath. And there he sees the beautiful deities of the Lord. And then he sees the Lord is being offered with a special sweet rice. Now, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described that Madhavendra Puri himself was a great cook. And seeing the preparation, he felt that I should also offer this special kheer to my Lord. That is a beauty and greatness of a exalted Vaishnava. So then he felt like that. Let me offer. But then he felt that if I get a chance to taste it, I will understand the exact ingredients, right? So he felt that if only I get a chance to taste it, but somehow he felt that how can I think even about tasting before the Lord has tasted it? So he felt that I think I should have not done this. So he started cursing himself, and he goes, you know, he goes somewhere alone outside the temple. He goes to the market area, but the Lord could understand his devotion, and he steals a pot of sweet rice for his devotee Madhavendra Puri. And we know the story that how the Lord comes in the dream of Pujari, and the Pujari is so happy that because of Madhavendra Puri, the Lord come in my dream. So he is grateful to Madhavendra Puri. And then he starts running and finding, where is this Madhavendra Puri? Where is this Madhavendra Puri? And then he goes to the market and tells, did you see this Madhavendra Puri? And everybody is surprised, who is Madhavendra Puri? Who is Madhavendra Puri? And then they say, what happened? Who is this Madhavendra Puri? He said, the Lord stored kheer for him. Now everybody knows that who is Madhavendra Puri. And then finally he finds out. And then he takes the kheer. It is said that he becomes so great and so happy that he not only eats the kheer, he starts eating particles of the pot in that sweet rice because the Lord stole for him. So in this way, all of us have heard this pastime. So I just want to speak, the glories of Madhavendra Puri through an acronym. And just so that everybody can remember that acronym, the transcendental qualities of Madhavendra Puri. So let us have the acronym. The acronym is called as Puri. Madhavendra Puri ka Puri. P-U-R-I. So the first P stands for purity. So it was Srila Madhavendra Puri's purity that attracted Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has many times said, purity is the force. And because of the purity of Madhavendra Puri, the Lord was attracted to his devotion. The Lord wanted to do something extraordinary for him. And that was the purity of Srila Madhavendra Puri. He was considered as Ayachita Sannyasi. He was having Ajgar Vritti. A Sannyasi who was not going and begging that give me some food, give me some roti, give me something to eat. But he will only eat if somebody comes on his own accord and gives him something. That kind of great personality, how can he ask that, you know, how can I get sweet rice to eat? That was Madhavendra Puri. But herein, the Lord, he was not feeling hunger because he was completely satisfied in Krishna's beauty, Krishna's bhakti. That was his purity. And another aspect of purity is he was spotless. Generally, when we say pure, that means he is spotless. He is free of sins. Like Krishna says in the Gita, Anagha. Right? He is completely sinless. Similarly, here, he is pure because he is finding, no, he is not finding fault with others. He is finding fault with himself. When he was having the desire to taste the sweet rice, he is finding fault with himself that how can I have this desire to eat or to taste before the Lord has tasted. So that is the purity aspect of the Lord. So that was the first aspect or the first quality which we should meditate, purity of Madhavendra Puri. The second acronym stands for U. U stands for unassuming. Madhavendra Puri was such an unassuming Vaishnava that when he came to Ramuna, nobody knew who was Madhavendra Puri. Right? He was the same when he came before, and he was same after he became famous. Right? That's why Krishna in the Gita says, my pure devotees are Tatha Apamana, Mana Apamanayo. That means they are same in happiness and in distress. They are same in great respect and in failure. Right? So that is the beauty of Srila Madhavendra Puri. He was such an unassuming Vaishnava that actually when all these people came to him and they started glorifying that you are the one, are you the same person for whom the Lord stole kheer, he was feeling embarrassed. Now that is a sign of a pure devotee, and that is a sign of a neophyte devotee. When a neophyte devotee is glorified, he said, Anyor, please speak more. Please tell. You know, please tell. Many times when somebody glorifies you, we say, such a great devotee. Why is great? Because he has understood your real quality. That's why he's great. So, but here in Madhavendra Puri, he was embarrassed. He was actually having tears in his eyes. Stop. Why are they glorifying me? Because he was such an unassuming Vaishnava. And he was thinking that actually this is not glorification of me, it is glorification of Krishna. So, three things one should do when somebody glorifies you. One, you should think it's not because of me, it's because of Guru and Krishna. Second, we should see, you know, when somebody glorifies you, you should see that actually I don't have that quality. But it is the senior devotees or the Guru, they are seeing that quality so that in future I should develop that quality. Right? If somebody tells you, Prabhuji, you are a wonderful devotee, you should not say, thank you, Prabhuji. Achha, wo aapne pehchan liya. You should say, no, Prabhu, I am not a devotee, but because you are saying, one day I will become a devotee. And the third point is, when somebody glorifies you for a genuine skill which you have, let's say somebody is a very nice cook, let's say somebody is a nice singer, let's say somebody is a very nice leader, somebody is a nice manager, right? If somebody glorifies you, Prabhuji, you are such a nice cook, that doesn't mean that next time when you cook, put some more salt or more mirchi, so that devotee doesn't glorify you. No. Herein, if somebody glorifies you for a genuine skill, you should be grateful that, yes, Prabhu, Krishna is kind that he has given me some qualities. So we should acknowledge it, but at the same time give credit to Guru and Krishna. So that was the second aspect. The second U, unassuming. Then the third point or the third acronym stands for R. R stands for resourceful. Madhavendra Puri was such a resourceful Vaishnava. Now, to be a devotee is easy, but to lead a institution, it requires skill. It requires management. It requires resourcefulness. Like Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada could have been easily practicing his own Krishna conscious movement. But Srila Prabhupada made sure that if you want to make Krishna consciousness a household name, we should have an institution. And for institution, you need skill, you need talent, you need management skills, you need empowerment. And for that, you need planning. For that, you need execution. So, we see Madhavendra Puri, how resourceful he was. Just imagine, Lord came to your dream and told, my deities are here, you start worshipping. Now just imagine if he comes in Hari Guru Prabhu's dream. Now first thing is, we'll be shocked. Deities are there. Now the question will come, who will worship the deity? Who will make offerings? How will we make a temple? How will we have funds? How will I do fundraising? Who will give money? You know, all this question will come. But Madhavendra Puri single-handedly brought the deities, brought all the villagers, empowered them, made people, okay, you will cook these items, you will make this. all this pujari, Abhishek, get this water from this kunda. You know, he was a manager. He was resourceful. And because he was resourceful, he could do this. He not only made a temple, but he made festivals. Chaitanya Charitamrita said that months and months there was festivals. That was Srila Madhavendra Puri. And then again, second task was go and get Chandan. Now Keshavanand Prabhu, if somebody tells you, go get Chandan from Jagannath Puri, what will you say? Prabhu, I am busy. I have seva. I have dressing. I have this service. I have that service. But Madhavendra Puri, he was managing a full temple. He did not give excuse. He said, okay, my dear Lord, if this is what you want, I will go. But just imagine, no vehicle going, no train, no flight, going walking, and in that heat, going to that place. Going also is not a question. But getting Chandan, how will you get Chandan from that place? You need some facility. And you know, Chandan, even today, it is so difficult. People have so much restrictions, smuggling issues and all that. So much checking, permissions required from different state to state. So, when he became famous, Madhavendra Puri became famous, he used that fame in the service of Krishna. All the people used to come and say, hey, you are Madhavendra Puri? He said, yes, yes, I have some service for you. Can you help me to get Chandan? And in this way, he used that fame in the service of Krishna. So that is how resourceful he was. And the last I stands for intent. His intent, his intense desire was to serve, and because of that intent, he was determined to do this. So many obstacles came, so many difficulties came, but he never gave up. Just imagine, if some leader tells you, go to Puri, get Chandan, and it takes hours and hours for you to find which quality Chandan, and it takes days and days for you to find out, you know, how to get Chandan here, and everything is planned, you purchase the Chandan, and you are about to board a train or truck, whatever, and you get a call, Prabhuji, don't get Chandan, apply Chandan there only. How will you feel? Arey, itna planning kiya, itna kuch kiya, and at last you are saying, agar Chandan chahiye hi nahi tha, itna bola hi kyu? You know, we could become angry. But the same Lord Gopal, after doing all that R&D, research and everything, Chandan is got. And next morning he was supposed to leave to Vrindavan, to Govardhan. And Gopal comes to his dream, he's saying, I am non-different from Gopal and Gopinath, so you offer that same Chandan to me. So that was his great devotion and his duty. So in this way, we discussed about the glory of Madhavendra Puri. And Srila Madhavendra Puri, we can meditate on his divine qualities with an acronym called Puri. P stands for purity, U stands for unassuming, R stands for resourceful, and I stands for intent or intention to serve Krishna. So we'll end here. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. It's 9:08, so I think we are about time. If anybody has questions, you can ask me personally. Thank you once again. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Damodar ki jai.